Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast. Today, we are honored to host a trailblazer in the world of HR technology, Kim Kelly. She serves as the CEO and co-founder of PeopleWork, a revolutionary platform reshaping the landscape of talent acquisition and development. With a background in business administration and a passion for education, Kim leads a dedicated team working to bridge the gap between businesses and talent using cutting-edge technology. From her impactful roles as an HR executive and consultant to steering the growth of PeopleWork, Kim's journey is a testament to her commitment to empowering individuals and organizations alike. Join us as Kim shares valuable insights into PeopleWork's vision, her experiences overcoming challenges, and how the platform empowers employees to upskill for future success. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thanks, Dylan. I am so grateful to be here and contribute to your podcast.
Yeah, I'm thankful to have you on, and I'm excited to speak more about this. So if you could please give us a brief background on yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, super brief background. 25 years in corporate America, HR, ops, and tech. And how I got here today is really penance. Yeah. My children... My oldest daughter came home from school. She was very distressed about not being able to find a job that aligned to her major. I asked her what she was doing. And then, you know, I just felt like a jerk. I was the one that set the standards of a resume, the false expectation I carried on that, oh, college was an access point to career success, or even worse, that because you went to college, you will achieve career success. Mm-hmm. And all of the other things that went along with applicant tracking systems and job boards, it was just all like a big slap in the face. So I just really went to a quiet space and pretty much tried to find ways to deconstruct a very old, not very good functioning system.
Mm-hmm. No, it's incredible. I've done some research on it. I've been on there multiple times now, and it is such a breath of fresh air to see something a little bit different than being like, here's a resume, here's your piece of paper, and ways that you can actually, I'll let you obviously go into more detail about the organization, but it's so nice to be able to look at and have other opportunities to bring talent in and not have to just base it off of a piece of paper, you know?
And that's really what has always been a disservice. It's kind of like the great irony of people who are in HR or who are social advocates for equity to actually still use a resume. Mm-hmm. Like when you think of the irony, how useless and prohibitive is a piece of paper that has historically been designed to be basically a demonstration of your legacy. I mean, Michelangelo is the one who first created a resume, and it was a chronological report of his accomplishments. But I don't think Mr. Arty, futuristic Mr. Angelo would have wanted us to turn it into some sort of testament to your capabilities and have you judged by all things. Like that's just, I don't think that was the intention then, but somehow we made it that, and I just don't accept it anymore.
Yes, I cannot agree more, because how do you put all of your accomplishments and all of your experience on a piece of paper, but in the same breath, they're telling you don't make it more than one page? You know, I mean, it's nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. sell us on all things that you think I'm going to ask you and that you think I care about, and make sure you do it so quickly that I only have 7 seconds to read it. Oh, and that's going to determine your future. Oh, yes, totally works.
That's not a challenge at all. That is so funny. So before we do get into PeopleWork, I did want to ask you how your previous roles as an HR executive and consultant shaped your vision for developing PeopleWork, and what specific experiences influenced the creation of PeopleWork?
Well, I don't think I could have created PeopleWork if I didn't have my career and experiences. You know, there's so many, there's a joke in the HR space that every second an HR technology platform is born. And it's because just like there's so many people trying to fix education, their perception is that this function, this experience that I'm having isn't working. So I'm going to try my hardest to throw something out into the world to try to make it fit. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't continually try, but I do think that there is a different value when I say to my HR and CEO and COO leaders, I've been in your spot. I've been frustrated. I walked your walk. I had to deal with the talk. And I am trying to put together a solution that I know if I were in your seat again, I would be celebrating. So that's really where the value is in that past experience. And most of the time, what I realized about, and I think this is really more relevant for your audience who are looking to get an understanding of what leadership is or how it kind of shows up in life. I was told early on, I was recruited by the CEO of stores at Walmart, and he told me, you know, yeah, he said, of course, he's so Arkansas, relaxed country. He says, you know, young lady, there's a difference between being an intrapreneur and an entrepreneur. Intrapreneur, you can work within an organization, a corporation's confines, and you can work to develop and progress that mission and that objective forward. But entrepreneurs are designed to break out of organizations, to break and see things outside of systems and existing processes. And ironically, I call it a disease. I don't think entrepreneurism is something that anybody should catch. Like, right. Just stay away from it as much as possible. Go get your entrepreneur vaccine. It's not a journey that people should take lightly. And in connecting entrepreneurship to leadership, I don't believe that they're synonymous things. So without that was a way of me getting to answer you is what I learned through all of the great bosses that I've had, even though I might not have agreed with their approach to things, it taught me how to refine how I see solutioning things. And I just happened to be in a career where it was about people, ops, and tech, and other people would have a different career journey that would lead them to solutioning some other problem. But really, it's not really about what I saw as an HR leader. It is what I learned about my thinking process that made me ready for this position.
Right. Yeah. I'm excited for people to see this because when they go to it, they can see such a incredible website and be able to really take so much from this. This is the finished product and additional things are being implemented. But did you have any key challenges when you were building and scaling PeopleWork?
So the answer is, of course I did, because I'm breaking 60 plus years of systemic tradition and social norms. So of course, in 6 years of a journey, I had to learn, where is my place in change management? How do I position a very complex solution simply? And I don't know if I always was successful at that. It was a lot of trial and error, a lot of wait and see, a lot of working with our first customers in 2018 and 2019 when they were building with us. They saw the problem. They agreed that we were going to try to solution big social challenges through a software system, through the function of business and HR that, you know, it was so much to learn. So yes, a lot of obstacles along the way. So what you're seeing is like website version number 312.2 and messaging, who knows how many versions we went through.
Yeah. I'm sure just like any kind of startup, you know, there's tons of challenges, but again, the finished product now looks incredible. And again, I cannot wait for people to check it out. Can you share some insights on how PeopleWork empowers employees to upskill, reskill, and build their future careers now that we can kind of get into what PeopleWork is all about?
Yeah, well, my very short answer is that it allows you to control your future, not have the employer control your future. And what that means is that in the last decade, whether you're using a different talent marketplace or whether you're trying to find business opportunities a different way, the gatekeeper to cash is no longer a corporation, right?
Right.
But the gatekeeper to your own income goals, your own work goals, how you do life, where you do life, that all changes and you're the driver of it. So in our ecosystem, in our app, when individuals download our app, whether it's a 16-year-old or a 60-year-old, it doesn't really matter where you're at in your work life. The value that we bring is that you define your goals. Our AI will help you connect who you are to what you want and how you get it. And you're the driver of it, not a corporation, not your HR person, not your parents, not your best friend, not your wife, not your significant other. It's you. And when you're the driver's seat of your own data, of your what it means to define who you are, the goals that you have, and that you're just getting access to that right information and pretty sophisticated technology at your fingertips, that's where we differ. Like you're in the driver's seat.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like a one-stop shop for everything that you need to acquire a job and the skills that you need, and even for the organizations who want to bring talent in. You know, you can look and find those incredible individuals, and it shows exactly what they have, and again, a little more extended than a resume.
Yeah. Well, and what we do uniquely different for a job. So a job for us is it's not necessarily an hourly job or a salary job or a technical job versus creative job or maybe a gig host at a podcast, right? Job types are all of all varieties and inside of PeopleWork. But what we do differently is we say, hey, Leaders of America podcast, you need to hire an assistant for your booth or whatever the sound control that you got to do for your booth, or the maybe it's a assistant for scheduling. You have a certain work style and you probably want to find somebody that complements that so you can go forward and that doesn't slow you down. And you probably have specific software tools that you used. So in our system, what we're doing is we're not just making a match because you can't search, you can't false apply, there's no ChatGPT resumes, you can't do any of the gamification that happens in, unfortunately, because PeopleWork has not conquered the world yet. We're still dealing with 90% of job-based experiences. You just can't do any of that noise inside of PeopleWork. But what we are doing uniquely different is that if you are finding that person that aligns with how you work and your attributes and your work style, we're going to actively close the skills gap. And that's where we bring in educators because education has changed, right? And we need education to be in real time with work so that people can get their goals. I mean, if that's really the game that we're all playing, then let's play it a little bit better. And there's only one system that I'm aware of. And that's why we have that unique value proposition to actually close the skills gap while somebody is making a match. So yeah, you're right, Dylan. We do a whole lot of things to just break and get rid of that first part of a, hey, I need a resume. Hey, I need this. I need to submit an application. But more importantly, we're helping people meet people where they're at and then help them to close any skills gap so that they can get their goal job and they can get their goal hire.
Right. I think that's a big problem too. And like job descriptions, for example, you don't know exactly what skills you need for those positions, you know? And so I know this is a pretty broad question, but because of all the different types of skills that are needed within different positions, but what are the most in-demand skills or competencies that individuals should focus on acquiring through upskilling initiatives?
I love that question, and it's not a tech. I don't believe it's a technical skill, even though somebody, I'm sure some sort of psychological teacher could debate whether or not it is a technical skill or not. I really want people to develop their effective listening skills and their reading. Reading of instructions and effective listening make for great working relationships. If you can't read, one of the things when our app first came out, we had a message there that said, hey, you've got to do something. And then somebody who was reviewing our experience said, you know, that's really frustrating. And I said, well, if reading instructions is a frustration point and you haven't even gotten to the first part of the experience, you're probably not going to match with any of our companies on our platform. Because you're not gonna meet the kind of attributes and work attitude that they need if the fundamental two sentence text message that you get is too much for you, right? And I don't believe that that's a generational thing at all. I think some people just don't want to take the time to just read basic instructions, and if they did, they would have a lot better performance. So yeah, that's it. Effective listening and reading.
I love that so much because even in grade school, you know, as in elementary schools, you're learning to read instructions and listen. As you get older, you kind of fall off of that, you know, and you should have communication classes in high school, going into college, and you know, in business classes, courses, you do have communication classes, but and it should matter in every industry to me. You know, I mean, I've been a part of so many interviews, conducting them and myself being in the interviews, and so many times they're just not even listening to what you're saying. And it's like, you know, you're here for a job. How is it so simple to, you know, communicate effectively? And but you know, some people just they learn differently, of course, you know, but it's that is a you hit it on the head, I think. You know, that's absolutely true that communication is a huge key to it.
You know what, Dylan, the way that you mentioned that, the learning and how people absorb information differently, there is within our app where we're about 2 weeks away from, we have a little ADA buddy, Americans with Disability buddy, and it allows people to translate the tech based on how they need to read. So if you're dyslexic, it will modify how you read things. If you have eye or vision challenges, it will allow you to modify how the text appears, because we definitely want to meet people where they are. But I will tell you that reading is not a matter of a really a quantitative statement about whether somebody has the capability to read. But if you had the capability to get information, however it was given to you, are you willing to do the 2 or 3 seconds more of effort to comprehend? And that's really the skill that will make you very different in today's job market.
You're absolutely right. Now, thank you for that. Thank you for touching on that. So I did want to get a little bit into AI, how we've talked about artificial intelligence and how it works with people work. So how does AI play a role in people work's talent acquisition and development processes? And what are some specific AI-driven features or functionalities offered on the platform?
Yeah, so our just for I always start off by just clarifying what AI is. AI is a bunch of learned data points, typically through machine learning, that says when these rules happen, do X, Y, and Z. And only when you've gotten a pattern of data that then the machines are starting to learn from, can you add a layer of additional queries that tell the software system to do something more, or possibly predict or recommend an answer or a solution or a possible outcome. So AI is, and I have a YouTube, we just did a YouTube. AI is not an oracle, it's a mirror. And it's a super important distinction, because right now, actually, in Elon Musk's book, most people don't realize he created ChatGPT before he created Tesla. It's not new. It's not new technology. It's just at a point where people are ready to consume it a little differently. And so what PeopleWork does, there's two functions, and over time it will just get better and better. So we're learning with our customers, and our customers are trusting us with making use of AI to benefit them and really be good stewards of their future. And we are doing that through different functions and questions within the whole product, whether it's our corporate customers, our organizations, our educators who are on the WorkHub side, or the individuals who are in the People app. There's just different questions and setups that allow the whole ecosystem to learn and work better together to provide predictive data. So where we can actually predict whether or not 100 people are going to get their gold job in the next 4 months, whether or not they're going to get it in 9 months, whether or not companies work with us to entirely build their future pipeline a year and a half in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody really needs to kind of be unemployed anymore,
right. Yeah.
Really. Like, it should be a thing of the past.
Right.
And that's one of the ways that we're evolving machine learning and data and analytics to provide some artificial intelligence, just whether or not it's our bots that are making the recommendation or whether or not it's our bots that are career coaches, and that's always a fun thing, or whether or not it's our attribute assessments that somebody can take a picture of their face and we predict their future, or whether or not it's our dot survey that takes less than a minute and it makes really the same outcome. So we use sophisticated software, technology, behavioral sciences all across the system. And of course, it is with the mission of helping all of our users really be future-proof as the world changes.
Wow. That is really, really cool. I'm excited to dig deeper into it because I've just started kind of working with it, but I know at least the stuff that I've looked into already. I know that tons of the people that I'm connected with, HR leaders, they're going to love this thing, you know? So I definitely, I really do highly recommend that any of the listeners check this out. And speaking of that, how can listeners engage with you and learn more about PeopleWork?
Well, engaging with us, our favorite way is through YouTube. We like our YouTube content because that's just where we share information about what's going on in the world of tech, education, business, and people's lives. And we do that all the way through what's going on in legislation around the world. That's our favorite place if you just want to engage with us. And then if you want to explore becoming a customer or user, you just go to the website and follow your path.
Right.
Pick who you are and follow your path and it will tell you where to go.
Yes. And it is very, very user friendly. So definitely check it out. Well, I do really, really appreciate it, Kim. I do have one more question before we go. I did want to ask you, what key lessons and advice do you have for future leaders based on your experiences and journey in leadership?
Well, I would say really be sure that you want to be a leader and understand what motivates you to be a leader. What I mean by that is sometimes people think leadership is a reflection of ego. And when it comes from an egotistical place in the era of AI, where authenticity and intention is going to become easier for the general public to understand about who are their leaders, I would just definitely think twice about deciding to become a leader, whether you're starting a business, you're going to be a political leader, you're going to lead you're going to become an advocate for some sort of big message that has to happen in the world. Whatever you're going to do, just know that you have to make sure that it's coming from a genuine place, because in the next 10 years, you will not be successful if it comes from someplace false.